Now, we talked about these seven churches and having a very simple outline for them. And as we move through the seven churches today, there's going to be comments that are made in three ways. And we seek to just make light of the fact that there's going to be comments made in at least three different contexts. And how is that? Some comments are going to be made with regard to the past churches, and I'll speak to those in a minute. Some are going to be prophetic regarding prophetic history considerations, and some are going to be very practical for our present day. Let's look at each one of these and break them down. First of all, the past. How can we look at these seven churches in the past? Well, these seven churches, moving 1 through 7 around this curve here, were all historical churches. They did exist. And to study the history behind them, some of the findings, some of the lifestyle, the religious background is fascinating. And if we were just on the page of the past, we could fill the entire conference with the study. Some comments, no doubt, will be made to that. Notice here that John was on the Isle of Patmos, right? Here's where he had the vision and was given these seven letters. And we understand that this was most likely a mail route that went around, right in this very same order: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and some very major road routes connecting those areas. So that's a little bit in the past, and no doubt we'll have some lessons on that. What about this prophetic history, church history? I was talking to a young man just recently, well taught in the scriptures. Thank you. I'll comment on that. And he was not familiar, thank you, Samir, he was not familiar with this prophetic history, and so I'll give a brief overview, and I know that there's going to be some comments on this as well. If we look back in history, as some brethren have said it, and we try to put various keys into a lock and see what fits, we find that these churches each correspond very closely to various times throughout church history. And let me briefly go through those and make some comments. Ephesus, we see being at the end of the century, okay, and perhaps was the early church and a little beyond. Then we see Smyrna, okay, a church that suffered. It means suffering. Then we see Pergamum, when the church started to embrace the world, and there was marriage here, perhaps during this time. And Thyatira, here is where we start today, perhaps in this rough time frame, and so starts the Catholic Church and with the Pope and so forth. Then Sardis, perhaps speaking of the time of the remnant. And Philadelphia, perhaps in 1750 and through 1900, great missionary movements happened. There's this time, some like to say that the Brethren movement was part of this as well, and likely so. And then Laodicea, our current time. These are some times that I've got from Brother Campbell, who we know, Miller's Church History. And I was handed a note, and I thought to bring this out later, but I'll do it now, that it is thought that these time frames, although speak of these particular times, that these churches, in their character, actually continue through today, through the rapture. And perhaps we can talk about that some more in our studies. But it's interesting that this is where we're going to be starting with this study, and all four of those churches, we believe, go through our present day. Moving on, I want to say one other thing about the prophetical side of things. Isn't it interesting? You've seen this graph before. Notice that this is very chronological, isn't it? We have the church up in heaven. We don't know what the time frame is here, and then we know the tribulation being of the 7 years. And then we have in order the events, the 1,000 years, and those things to follow. Revelation is a chronological book, isn't it? Okay. Could it be, to support the prophetical history, that the Lord Jesus, when he was given this, gave us church eras that moved right through time, right in chronological order? Perhaps this fits, and that would support some of the things that brethren have found in the past. This other aspect now, the present day, and we do want to make an emphasis of this. What is the Lord speaking to us? And how might we approach this? Well, I think the way to start, as we would any other study is to look very closely at the text. What is the text saying to us? And we find, as we look at these seven letters, that the letters are broke typically into six parts. They start with, who is the letter to and who is the letter from? We have a commendation. We typically have a rebuke. We have some instruction. In this first letter, by example, to Ephesus, we have another commendation. And then the letters end with, he who has a hear, let him hear what the churches says, the Spirit says to the churches. And then a promise to the overcomer. And we see this in all the letters. And just to make that plain, and some of us looked at this last year, I'm not expecting any of you to read this, but this is the middle page of your booklet. Okay? And what do we see? We see that there's a greeting and who the letter is from in blue in every one of the books, right? The Lord Jesus with his all-seeing eye, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. He knows what? He knows things that can be commended. He knows things that need to be rebuked. And so in the green, the good, green for good, we've got commendation, 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 commendation down here. Commendation here. No commendation here, right? And in red, we have rebuke. Red for rebuke, okay? No rebuke. Rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. No rebuke. And rebuke. And then we have in black, we have some instructions, some commands. We have the Lord telling us what he will do. And we see black in every one of these. And then finally, we have this admonition, he who has an ear, to each of these churches. And then finally, the promise. Three times here at the end, in these last four churches that we'll take up, second to the end. So we have what we call, or could call, a divine template. A divine template. Each one of those churches here, Ephesus through Laodicea, each having a greeting. Most of them have an accommodation. Notice Laodicea does not. Okay, a rebuke. Special churches, Smyrna and Philadelphia, do not. And then, of course, all have direction and command. All have a word of admonition to hear. And finally, all have a promise to the overcomer. So there's a brief overview. And we want to, in our study, we want to take special note of what the Lord is saying here, that we might be commended and encouraged here, that we might be corrected here, that we might listen to his instruction here, that we might know who's speaking here, and that we might be motivated and stirred in a fresh way to be those who overcome.